Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. And throughout this season of Epiphany, we've been talking about all the ways that Jesus is revealed to us to be the Son of God, and how he's revealed to us to be the Savior of all people, Jews and Gentiles. And this is certainly shown forth to us on this day, the feast of the purification and presentation of our Lord. In the season of Epiphany, we've talked about how he was revealed in the gifts that the wise men gave him when they gave him gifts fit for a king and worshiped him. It's revealed in the baptism of Jesus. When he was baptized and the voice from heaven came down and said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And then it's fulfilled today when the prophet Simeon holds Jesus in his arms and says, "My own eyes have seen your salvation." So why do Mary and Joseph bring Jesus into the temple at all? Well, at this point, they were simply doing what any believer at that time would have done. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." They came there to dedicate their firstborn son and to offer sacrifice for him according to the law of Moses. They were simply being obedient to the law in the way that any believer at their time would have done. But here's the difference. No child that had ever been brought into the temple had ever been dedicated as a firstborn son. No child was ever like Jesus before. He is holy to the Lord as the firstborn son, but he is also holy to the Lord because he is the holy Son of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. Other children had had these sacrifices performed for them, but Jesus is unique in that he's the one in which all these sacrifices of the Old Testament were pointing forward to. All these other children needed sacrifices to have their sins taken away. Jesus had no sin of his own or inherited from Adam that needed to be sacrificed for, but all these sacrifices point to what he would do for each and every one of us on the cross. And then finally, no child has ever entered the temple and been the one that the temple was pointing forward to, only Jesus. He is true God in the flesh. So when he comes into the temple, which is the place of the presence of God, he is God himself stepping into his temple. He is the very presence and glory of God that comes to be among his people when he is brought into the temple. So this is really what his dedication is about. This is really what his presentation is about, that he is called holy to the Lord, in order that you can be called holy to the Lord. He is called holy to the Lord in order that you can be called holy to the Lord. Anybody else would have been dedicated and purified with sacrifice for the forgiveness of their sins, but Jesus is set apart as holy to be the sacrifice, the one who will make you holy. And what does it really mean to be holy at all? To be holy means to be pure, spotless, sinless, able to stand before God our Father, able to stand before our God without receiving his wrath. And holy has another meaning also. It means to be set apart for a specific purpose. We use certain things for certain purposes in this life as well, and the same thing is done in the church. We heard about Samuel in our Old Testament reading, when he was set apart from his birth for the specific task of serving in the temple all of his life, dedicating his entire life to serve God. He was set apart as holy for that purpose. And in the same way, the Levites in the Old Testament were set apart for the holy service of God in the temple. This is what Numbers chapter 3 says, "Behold, I have taken the Levite from among the people of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the people of Israel. The Levites shall be mine." So instead of every firstborn having to be dedicated for service in the temple, God just takes the whole group of the Levites and says, all these guys are mine for service in my temple. They were set apart as holy to serve God in the temple. And we do the same thing in church. We don't just use ordinary vessels for communion. We don't just use ordinary vessels for baptism. Stuff you might use around the house, maybe a bucket or something, or another cup that's just sitting there in your kitchen. No, we use these special vessels for the holy things of God. So you understand how these things still work in our minds. We set apart certain things as holy to contain holy things. And Jesus is set apart as holy on this day. Not just for a life of service to God in the temple like Samuel was or the Levites were, but he is set apart as the Holy One of God who will take away the sins of the world. And this is all brought about in what Simeon says of Jesus when he holds that baby in his arms. That baby, that one that has come into the temple that he's currently holding, he points to him and says, this one is the Lord's Christ. This is the one that we've been waiting for. This is the one who has come to save his people. Simeon calls Jesus the fulfillment of all the promises of the Lord. Everything that God had done for his people in the Old Testament, all the ways that he had saved them, bringing them out of the land of Egypt, giving them the Passover lamb, that the sacrifice of the Passover lamb saved the firstborn sons of Israel, leading them in the wilderness and bringing them to the promised land, sending them into exile and bringing them back, all the ways that God had delivered his people, and then all the ways that God had promised that he would save his people from their sins. Simeon is saying all these things are wrapped up in this little baby that he's holding in his arms. This one is the one who would save his people from their sins. And on top of this, he's saying that he is the salvation of God for all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Not just for one specific group of people, but for everyone. Everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ will receive the forgiveness of their sins and be saved. And then the prophetess Anna, at the end of our reading, she identifies this one as the redemption of Israel, the ransom of Israel, the one who would pay the debt of our sin and take away our sin through his suffering and death on the cross. Jesus, the Holy One, is the one who comes to save his people. Everything that God had promised in the Old Testament is fulfilled in him. Everything that God did in the Old Testament is fulfilled in him. And this is certainly seen in the temple itself. Because what was the temple in the Old Testament? What was this tabernacle in the Old Testament? It was the presence of God. That's where Moses went to talk to God face to face. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the sacrifices were. And how was this signified? That the cloud of the glory of God would come and rest on the tabernacle. The cloud of the glory of God would come and rest in the temple. The place was certainly holy to the Lord because it was the presence of the Lord. But now everything about the temple is fulfilled in Jesus. When he's brought into the temple on this day of his presentation, the glory of the Lord now enters the temple. The glory of the Lord and his chosen one, his promised one, are now in the temple. And then furthermore than this, the temple was always pointing to Jesus' own body. Do you remember when he says this? Tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up once again. And the people wondered at this, but they did not realize that he was talking about the temple of his own body. Everything about the temple in the Old Testament was pointing forward to Jesus, because he is the presence of God, he is the glory of God, and he is the sacrifice for our sins. He is the sacrifice for our salvation. And this is what is promised to you. He is called holy so that you can be called holy. He comes into his temple. He comes into this world. He steps up to the cross in order that you can receive the forgiveness of sins, in order that you can receive salvation in him. This is what Simeon says of him in his song, "My own eyes have seen your salvation." And this same child, this same man, is your salvation as well through the forgiveness of your sins. Through his holiness and through his innocent sacrifice, you put on his holiness. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Because the Holy One, the innocent one, the one who didn't deserve it at all, went to the cross and received the wrath of God for you. He was designated from that time as the holy sacrifice who would take away your sins. And though you're covered with sin when it comes to just you, if it's up to you, you're an enemy of God. But because of Jesus, because of his holy sacrifice and the shedding of his holy blood, you are clothed with his righteousness. His blood covers you and washes away your sins, so that you truly are called holy to the Lord. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin anymore. When God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ and the holiness of Christ, so that you can stand before him washed clean with the blood of the Lamb. So since you are holy before the Lord, washed clean by the blood of Christ, you are also set apart in this life to be holy. Not set apart in this life to just do whatever you want. Not set apart in this life to engage in all manners of immorality. Rather, set apart in this life to walk in the ways of Christ. That's what you're called in your baptism. When you're clothed with water and the word and your sins are washed away, you are called a child of God. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is put upon you as a child of God, and you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within you and works within you to then walk according to the ways of God, not according to your own ways. And you're set apart in this life to hear the word of God and to believe the word of God, not just once, not just every once in a while, but daily, to live in the word of God so that it is your daily bread. You are set apart to receive Christ's very body and blood. He, since you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, since you are his holy vessel, you are considered worthy to receive his very body and blood. Not because of anything that you can do, not because of anything about yourself, but because you have been cleansed. And by faith, you believe that it is his true body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. So you have the privilege to receive Jesus in the bread and the wine in his body and blood. And you're set apart to walk by the Spirit in this life in love. Not according to your own ways, not according to your own will, not according to the will of the flesh that wants to take you away from the will of God, but according to God's good and gracious will. That's the life that Simeon lived. That's the life that Anna lived. All of it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who gives us salvation, gives us the forgiveness of sins. And what Jesus has done for you promises you eternal life forevermore for all who believe in him. And that's why it's so appropriate that after communion, we sing the song of Simeon, the Nunc Dimittis. Because Simeon held his salvation in his very arms. And in the same way, that's what you receive at communion. You've received Christ himself in his very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive it with your very mouth, just like Simeon held his very salvation in his arms on that day. So it's very appropriate for you to say, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Put another way, God, I'm ready to die now. There's nothing left in this world that I'm striving for. I'm at peace with God, and I'm at peace with my fellow man. You have given me the forgiveness of sins. You have promised me life forevermore, so I know that whatever this life has in store for me, you're with me. You give me your peace. You give me your forgiveness. You give me your life. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. My own eyes have seen thy salvation. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.